हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, 8th Wave, Chapter 50, Further Analysis of Mixed Rasas, page 86, 4873. Differing Ashrayas for Vira and Bhayanaka Rasas. Seeing Krishna victorious as he enacted skillful fighting pastimes in the combat arena, the hairs of all his young friends stood on end in ecstasy. However, the complexions of Kamsa and other enemies became black with fear. Srila Prabhupada, the following is a statement that describes different mellows of devotional service. Although Krishna was invincible to any enemy, the cowherd boys of Vrindavan became almost blackish with astonishment upon seeing his wonderful royal garments and his fighting feats on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In this statement, although there's a mix of chivalrous activities and dread in devotional service, there's no perverted reflection of mellows. 4874. Right? Cause so there's that switch from him being just a cowherd boy dress to the Dwarka dress. You know? 4874. Even if the Vaishyas or... Vishayas. I was going to say Vaishyas or... That, well, no, that doesn't work. Even if the Vishayas or Ashrayas are different, if the conflicting rasas are both primary rasas, the result will be distasteful. Right? So you see here is that you have primary and secondary, or secondary and secondary, then it can work. But primary and primary, then doesn't work. Madhura rasa conflicting with dasa rasa, even though the Vishayas are different. O Father, unlock the door bolt without delay. I will go to the house of Sandipani Muni. My mind is attracted to the dark complexion of youth. Srila Prabhupada. One resident of Mathura requested her father to bolt the doors and then go with her to the school of Sandipani Muni to find Krishna. She complained that Krishna had completely stolen her mind. In this instance, there's the mix of conjugal love and parental love, but there's no incompatibility. Srila Jiva Goswami. Kasya is Sandipani Muni. The girl shows Dasya, Pritena, towards her father. Footnote 32. Child of parent is Dasya, as with Krishna's children in Dwarka. Right, parents to the children, that's parental, but the children to the parents, that's dasya. Right? It has that gaurav priti, so it's more intimate, but it's still a servant aspect. By the strength of her feelings, however, even here is no interference with her madhura rasa. A similar case should be the following. So that means here. Because here it's saying it would be distasteful, but Jiva Goswami and Prabhupada are giving it in the opposite way. So it must be something in the translation.
I also came forward that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing is that you're talking rasa, and they might deal in a poetic way. So then you might not always catch the... Because, you know, one tends to be more literal. You know, especially if one works with a dictionary. So you kind of have the maximum range of whatever Max Mueller, you know, is offering. So traditionally, how it leaves, what's being there, what's the influence of it, then sometimes you might, things might not work out. Because also how, where you split the word, you can end up with different words and all that. And so then they might, yes.
First example, it's showing, I think, exception. The next example shows there is a fault.
Maybe, but I'm just saying in here, these are like exceptions. Mm-hmm. But the point is he's saying mixing the primary rasas will be, the result will be distasteful. But in this example, you're showing an exception where it's not.
Yes,
so that should be clear there. So we should make notes to point those out. Because otherwise, because this section is showing exceptions. Mm-hmm. So they have to see that the rule is this. No, so in other words, the exception's not being explained. A rule's being explained. And then here's an example of an exception. If it, you know, in this particular way. Then it becomes much more clear. So you always have to see is what the acharyas are saying and how it works. Because they'll never be contradictory. That's the whole point. Similar case would be the following. I am born from the sun god. He is the master of the sattvatas. Therefore, what other person is suitable as my husband? Right, so here's a mix of the two. And he's saying it's another case where there's no interference. Because she wants to get married, but the point is being born from the sun god, he's the master of the sattvatas. What other person is suitable? You know, so it has to be someone of that caliber. So then the question comes, who would that be? Like that.
Now I fear when the person saying my husband is the sun god.
Sorry?
When the person is saying what other person is suitable as my husband, since it is the sun god?
No. I am born from the sun god. He is the master of the sattvatas. Therefore, what other person is suitable as my husband? But I know of this is a statement by Yamuna.
Yes, Kalindi.
Kalindi. Right? Because, you know, who's she going to marry? Who's suitable?
Krishna
is suitable. But see, here you have, I am born from the sun god. So you're showing the Dasya Ras and how he's the master of the sattvatas. And you're showing then the, you know, that position of authority. That, therefore, what other person is suitable is my husband. So this is either something that Kalindi said to Krishna when, you know, when Arjuna and Krishna were there. And they're walking along the Kalindi and then she came out and there was a discussion. And so then she became his wife. Like that. I don't think this is referring back to a discussion between her and her brother. There's also a discussion between Yama and Yami. She's Yami. He's Yama. And so, like that, her point is that, you know, no one's qualified. Who am I supposed to marry? So it's just showing that there's two different things there. And so if it's mixed in this way, it still works. Hmm? 4876. Shanta Ras of the speaker conflicting with Madhura Rasa of Rukmini. When will my eyes serve the eternally blissful form of Parabrahma, whose chest is marked with the kumkuma from Rukmini's breasts? Srila Jiva Goswami. Rukmini is the ashraya of Madhura Rasa, and the speaker is the ashraya of Shanta Rasa. Both are primary rasas. Since the speaker is thinking of becoming a shelter of Madhura Rasa like Rukmini, there's a fault. Because he's thinking of in that position. Because the point is if you're attracted by this higher or other rasa, then you should also refer to Krishna and relate to Krishna in that context. So he's referring to Krishna as the Parabrahma, as the shelter, as the Vishaya of the Shanta Rasa. But then he's then going in his ashraya from the conjugal. So they should match. In other words, the Vishaya and ashraya have to match. So, yeah. 4877. Some devotees whose hearts are attached to the path of jnana do not consider it distasteful when the ashraya of Shanta Rasa is different from the ashraya of the conflicting rasa, as in the previous example. Like those who are path to jnana, then they think they're okay, but others, Srila Prabhupada. A Brahmanandi, impersonalist, expressed his desire as follows. When shall I be able to see that supreme absolute personality of Godhead who is eternal bliss and knowledge and whose chest has become smeared with red kumkuma, powder by touching the breast of Rukmini? Here there is a mixture of conjugal love and neutrality. Although this is a contradiction of mellows, there is no incompatibility because even a Brahmanandi will become attracted to Krishna. So from that aspect, then it works. You know, so that he's saying is that they don't consider it distasteful. Because for them, because he's the supreme absolute, whatever his position, then these forms, where he's dealing in these rasas will be more attractive than simply the shanta aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So for them, it's not a contradiction because it's a different ashraya. He may be referring to a different ashraya, but it's actually about him as the ashraya. Does that make sense? So in their mind, it's fine. Yes, yes.
So when he's seeing and you can say hearing, it seems natural that some inspiration to appreciate from the other side.
Means you can appreciate, yes. But then all it's saying is that from their view, then that these mixing of the ashrayas is not a problem for them.
Yes.
Because they're just about the amazingness of Krishna.
Yes.
But for others who are tasting rasa, they wouldn't do this because you would want to, in other words, if he's attracted by this aspect of Rukmini, then he would say, you know, the Lord of the Yadu dynasty or something like that. You know, something that connects him with this pastime. You know, Krishna, you know, the husband of the goddess of fortune, like that is, you know, becomes even more beautiful when, you know, how you say, his chest becomes red by the kumkum, like this. So then that matches. But for the Brahmanandis, because it's just appreciation, for them in this way, it doesn't, this is not contradictory. Who's that? 4878. However, just as there is a conjoining of two natural enemies for service to a common master, their king, there is no fault in the mixing of two conflicting Anga rasas for nourishing the Angi rasa. 4879. Vira and Bayanaka rasas, you know, so those don't get along because chivalry and fear don't get it wrong, but working together to assist Vatsala. So these are all the exceptions. So appreciating how these exceptions work. That's without the acharyas, we won't know. Mm-hmm. Dear Jashoda, your son is softer than a jasmine flower, and Keshi demon is harder than a mountain. Because of this, my mind is quivering. Let my son have all auspiciousness. Raising this pillar, I will pulverize this demon and make Gokula worthy of praise. Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj told his wife, my dear Jashoda, although your son Krishna is as delicate and soft as the Malika flower, he has gone to kill the Keshi demon. Yeah, because the Malika, you know Malika? They're kind of big white flowers. It's more of a creeper kind of bush. They're very big and they kind of have this kind of thing like this in the back. Super intense, sweet smell.
Is it a kind of jasmine?
Yeah, it's a kind of jasmine. It's one of the kind. But the petals are very kind of a little thicker and soft. They're not like bay leaves and other ones that have these very thin leaves that are more, a little more dry, so a little. they're soft, but they're harder. But this one is more soft. Yeah. Nanda Maharaj told his wife, "My dear Jashoda, although your son Krishna is as delicate and soft as the Malika flower, he's gone to kill the Keshi demon, who is as strong as a mountain. Therefore, I have become a little disturbed. Then never mind. All auspiciousness to my son. I shall raise this hand, which is as strong as a pillar, and I shall kill the Keshi demon just to give freedom from all anxieties to the inhabitants of Braja Mandala." In this statement, there are two kinds of mellows, chivalry and dread. Both of them, however, improve the position of parental love, and therefore there is no incompatibility. Srila Jiva Goswami, in this verse, the different vishayas of the conflicting rasas should also be considered factors in harmonizing the inimical rasas. Bayanaka towards the demon and Vira towards Gokula. Shalinam means praise. Medhi is a pillar around which oxen tread in order to separate the grain from the chaff. Right? So that's a big stick. So you take that stick and go out, you know. So someone comes running out of their house with a medhi in their hand, you know they mean business. Four, eight. You know, so they're both together, but they're different. They're directed at different points. So that also makes it work. 4880. Verse 31 of this chapter is an example of Vatsala Ras nourished by Hasya and Karuna Rasas, which are enemies. The verse is, when perspiration became visible on the forehead of Krishna as he held up Govardhana in his left hand, Jashoda became trembling with fear, thinking that Govardhana would fall upon him. Her eyes opened wide with astonishment on seeing the boldness of a 7-year-old boy when he raised his left hand to lift the hill. But her cheeks were filled with laughter on seeing the playful expressions on his face as he smiled at his friends. Hasyarasa. Tears flowed from her eyes on seeing him with his left hand held high for 7 days. Karuna rasa. Her cloth became wet as milk flowed from her breast out of affection for her son, Vatsala rasa. May this queen of Braja protect the whole world. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, however, the two conflicting rasas are also separated in time. Right, because the one is he lifted the hill, the other one then, and now you know he's making these faces, and you know it's also where they're directed, like that. 4881. Moreover, so you can see how easily all these points are there, and then you know, like the Digvijay Pandit, then he composes 100 verses on the spot. You know, just in other words, basically as quick as you can say them nicely, he's composing them. And you know, who can do that because of all the different grammar and this, that, but at the same time is then there'll be flaws in the rasa. And that's there. And then there can be flaws also, you know, in some finer technicality of the grammar. You know, the general grammar it's all right, but in the finer points or in kavya it'll be wrong or something. So there's so many fine points. So that's why then we just stick to the acharyas. Our own prayers means we're following in the mood. We don't create our own like that. So that's why you say the prayers of the acharyas, because they're actually proper. And then our own mood to somehow or another, develop these proper, you know, moods of service and surrender. Then that's one's own. Okay.
Okay. Try to say something, or to try to write something in the line of the acharya. So it's not easy in the sense that it is. We need to get the mood.
Yes.
We have to, not to speculate, not to.
Yes. But it's also the tattva, the philosophy is straightforward.
Yes.
And so we should try to catch that. But this, why do we need to write this? They've already written this. It's just like, are there no one else is good in grammar and poetry? It means Vishwanath is not good, or Narottam, or others, but are they writing dramas? No. Rupa Goswami wrote drama. Then Kavi Karnapur wrote drama. And I think one other person wrote a drama.
Ramananda
Rai. Like that. That's it. The others just appreciate. So, you know, we don't need to do this. You know, we can express philosophy and all these different things nicely. Yeah, because the point is, why do we need to write these things? Because, anyway, who would understand this? Right? So, if it's somebody who can understand this, why wouldn't they read this? Like that. You know? But if it's someone who wouldn't understand this, then we can discuss the philosophy, so they can become qualified to understand this. So when it comes to rasa, there's no need for us to do any writing. Does that make sense? Yeah. For 881. Moreover, since in person, such as Yudhishthir, inimical rasas such as Dasya and Vatsala, manifest at two different times, there's no fault. Srila Jiva Goswami. So that's why you see, as you have these individuals who are in mixed rasas. So technically, like it said, Vatsala, nothing mixes with that, but they're two different times. You know, at one time they deal like this, and another time they deal like that. They're not happening at once. Srila Jiva Goswami. Though there are combinations of inimical bhavas in Yudhishthir and others, dharma sutta dishu, such combinations are acceptable because they appear at different times. In Yudhishthir, there is seen a combination of dasya, vatsalya, and sakya rasas. He has dasya towards Krishna from knowledge that he is the Lord. He has vatsalya rasa towards Krishna because he identifies himself as Krishna's elder. He has sakya rasa towards Krishna because he is not much older. This is similar to Balaram, who has vatsalya and sakya relationships with Krishna. There is a fault if the rasas are unsuitable to the particular condition. However, in this case, there is no fault. In other unsuitable cases, there will be fault. Those combinations which appear contradictory in the Bhagavatam are resolved in the Bhagavat Sandarbha and Priti Sandarbha. Bhagavat. Yeah. 482, you say the end of the Bhagavat, then they'll deal with these things. Yeah, maybe it's Bhakti Sandarbha and Priti Sandarbha. Just somehow or another didn't catch. 4882. Though in Adiruddha Mahabhava, all the inimical rasas mixed together, there is no distastefulness. This has already been shown in relation to the Madhura rasa of Radha and Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. This has been shown previously with the verse starting Gora, Kandita, Shankha Chudam. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.5.23, footnote 33. On one side lay dead Shankha Chuda, whose body was like an arena for pastimes, surrounded by frightful, ferocious, ignorant jackals. In another place, the wind, like a group of sages situated in Brahman realization, recited soothing praises, cool as falling snow. In front stood Balaram, glowing like the full moon. But the lotus of Radha's love, suitable for giving joy to Krishna, did not fade, but rather sprang into full bloom. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.5.23.
Maharaj?
Yes?
May be called Bhagavad Sandarbha because everything together was called Bhagavad Sandarbha, and then again when he himself, Jiva Goswami himself, had made it into six parts.
Okay. So maybe he's meaning resolved in the Bhagavad Sandarbha in the section that would be called Priti Sandarbha.
Yeah. Because he himself did it. Before he did, everything was in one book called Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so these, because Radharani is the source of all things, and also Krishna being, you know, the source of all, then the two of them, they can have these mixes of things, and there's not a problem. Right? Because they'll just be so perfectly mixed. It was like, I remember someone was telling me, we were discussing about cooking, and they were saying as how that, I don't remember, they were talking about their, you know, mother, grandmother, somebody, aunt, or something. And they can cook these dalnas, and there's like 20 different spices in them. But they're so perfectly balanced, they give one flavor. You can't say, oh, this has this and that. No, it's just one flavor. It's so perfectly balanced. You know, it's because when we put, you know, hey, let's put that, you know. You know, so that would be, mentioned the American, if a little is good, more is better, you know, and then it just overwhelms everything. But they would just get the balance, and then it's so perfect. Right? Yes,
in South India, sambar should have
28 spices. Okay, but it just tastes like sambar. Okay, so that's what gives sambar its unique flavor. Okay. Sometimes the combination of all rasas appears, producing an even greater taste for Krishna, the culmination of all persons, who is endowed with inconceivably great powers. Srila Jiva Goswami. Generally, when Krishna is the Vishaya of various rasas for different individuals, there is no decrease in taste. But even when Krishna is the Ashraya of all rasas, the combination manifests greater taste, and thus the rasas do not restrict each other. Next, so you see these ones where you'll have it both. That this is one of them. This one here, this one about the Shankarchuda. There's also another one when he comes into Vrindavan, and I think, I'm not sure if it wasn't quoted before, that, you know, the gopis will be over here, and one's looking like this and that, and Mother Yashoda over there, and the cowherd boy's here, and the cows, and they're just showing all of these, Krishna like entering into Vrindavan, all the rasas at once are all directed at him. You know? And so there's no contradiction. At the same time as he, you know, what he directs back, his feelings towards them, like that, then there's no contradiction. Like that, because it's connected to Krishna, that means all contradiction goes away. And that's the same point as we were discussing before, in the understanding philosophy and all that. All these different positions all become harmonized because it has one common point. So even though they have different methods, you know, the one is engaging the senses, the one is engaging the life airs, the other is engaging the mind, the other is engaging the intelligence. But all those are perfectly balanced when it's centered around Krishna. So there's no problem for it.
I'm thinking, I don't know, it's just speculation. But in terms of ISKCON, if everything is centered about Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then it will be... harmony.
Yes.
But if everybody has their own ideas,
yes,
then it's
it'll create problems. Yes. Because that's the whole thing, is that you can only approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. Like there was a difficulty in Vrindavan, I'm not sure when, 20 years ago or 30 years, whenever it was, that somebody was intelligent. I think their background and all that, and they knew Sanskrit, and they got into the things, and they started studying Jiva Goswami and this and that. And seeing contradictions between, you know, seeming to them, between Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath and Baladev and what Prabhupada says and this and that. And so, you know, he started to relativize everything. And so then he couldn't adjust, because Rupa Goswami's rule is you approach the previous through your acharya. So he wasn't taking Prabhupada's angle and then looking at Jiva Goswami. He was taking it with Jiva as the center, you know. And then when it couldn't be resolved, you know, in his mind, because it was whatever reason, the doubts and the misgivings were too great. So then he just went off and started his own institute, like that. And, then that's it. I think to the day it still stands, you know, like that. And so that's the problem. He sees it from that particular angle, and that's he can't see it from any, he can't, you know, bring it all together. So if he can't, that means he's technically not understanding the essential point. He's only seeing the grammatical presentations and the vocabulary and stuff like that. He's only seeing the external. Maybe able to see things very nice, but he can't catch the mood. Like I remember once he was talking on, it was Dasara.
What?
Dasara. Ram Vijay. Vijay Dasami.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So I think in general it's called Dasara. Because that day is just the auspicious for, you know, how you say, being victorious in battle. So he was giving this discussion, but because, you know, he was so good at grammar and this and that, and so he was getting right into it. But then he was kind of, you know, pointing out that, you know, this one does this and that one that because of the day. It wasn't centered around Ramachandra, even though it was Ramachandra's pastime. He was just kind of pointing that the day is the important day, and that Ramachandra did there, but also you see Kali, when she defeated one of those demons, because I think she did twice. It was also on that day. So that's why the Kali Bhaktas, then they do their puja. That's their day for nothing to do with Ramachandra. So he was just giving this discussion about the titi and the importance of the titi and all that. And Ramachandra happened to be a part of the scene. But also, you know, Kali was brought up, you know, in sufficient amounts and other things. And, you know, in the auspicious time, and this is the effect, and this planet. And that, you know, just like that. It's just a waste of time. I mean, a literal waste of time. But the problem is then people will think, oh, he's such a scholar, he'll listen, and then his angle, because he's not using Prabhupada's angle. He's not even using the other acharyas, like we said. He can only see the external grammatical point that they're making. And so then he can't reconcile. So that's one of the glories of Narad Muni, is he can reconcile any of these. There is no contradiction. And Prabhupada points it out many times. So if you're seeing a contradiction, it's not spiritual. It's definitely material. So that comes up as a problem. So one has to see is that there's all these different things. What's the standard way of dealing? Certain things you mix, it makes increases the taste. Certain things you mix, it doesn't increase the taste. Right? But there are some exceptions. And so in this particular case, it can, or that case, it can. Like we saw before, even when they're giving the main mixes, there were some points that, but if it's this, in this situation, it'll work. So, depending on what's there, so many things can work, but it has to have that particular. And the more complicated, the more rare it is. Like that. And so then that, so one has to be able to appreciate that and see in that way. So the acharyas have said that, so therefore that's how you look at it. So if you see there's a difference, there is no. You have to find what's the common point. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't clear from the text to the commentaries. It seemed like they were opposite. But one was showing that this is that particular rule. But in these circumstances, you see it works. You know? So in explaining example, I mean, explaining contradictions, then you show the rule that is contradicting. Right? So not that in this section that, because it's not just explaining what are the acceptable exemptions, but it's also what's the context of that exemption. And then it all falls into place. Yes?
Like the current Adhikarana which we are going in, Jiva Goswami's Bhagavad Sandarbha, where he clearly points out how all the Vedic literature are pointing out at Bhagavan. And at different places he may discuss and emphasize like how the Mayavadis are going wrong, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
The same point is, you see, in Prabhupada's first book, he exactly points out the same thing, but for the Mayavadis in the current context. Because that makes sense to us. 400 years, 500 years above, before however the Maya or this, who knows? And even they themselves don't know they're lying.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it keeps changing.
But the so-called scholars, they don't
It's like a virus. It keeps changing.
So the so-called scholars...
Mutated, yes.
They don't catch that.
Yes.
And in fact, like according to modern perception also, education means it has to be exactly like the current cultural thing which is going, it has to suit that. Because the culture also keeps changing according to their...
But now if we're going by the culture today, now you have to write curriculum.
Yes.
And you have to find those who today are qualified to write curriculum, who can relate to today. And so then you have your committees, you get together, you work out who it is, like that, then they need their facilities, they need their money, they need all this and that. Then they start writing. And so if you're going to make the contemporary for today, you're dealing with, you know, 12 years, right? And if you want to count kindergarten, nursery, and all that, then, you know, others may work on that. But the point is you have 12 years there. And so by the time they write 12 years, the time's gone. So, I mean, within the academy, it's understood that whatever is the textbook of today, it's 20 years behind. So there's no question of... So that's why bother with that? Why bother with time? Work with the eternal. It's always relevant. So that's why Prabhupada makes the relevant point, the eternal point, it's always relevant. Yeah, very good. Yes.
Because of such examples you mentioned, devotees understanding technically and going off track. What happens is, negative side is the devotees who want to study systematically, then the management is fearful that another case like this might happen.
So how did these other guys approach it? From the inductive method and, you know, exclusively on its own. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that person liked grammar, was into grammar, and so then they just studied Jiva Goswami. Because it's got, you know, really good grammar in that. The other Sampradayas studied Jiva Goswami because the grammar is so nice. And so, yeah, as a grammarian, he's engaging himself. As a Vaishnav, that's another discussion.
Every aristocratic Calcutta man has Sandarbha
in his house. Okay. In Bengali Lipi. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just, you know, these things. So there's a way to approach it. And if you do it in that way, then it's nice. It makes the whole thing work together. And if you don't, it'll just be a disturbance. Yeah. So that's the thing. Shruti Smriti, what is it? Yeah. Yeah, in my mind I just said it, and then when I go to come out the mouth, it just didn't. That's funny. Yeah, so if you're not following the mood that's given, it'll just be a disturbance. You know, that's the thing, is that because the intellectual is given a higher status, it's thought if it's intellectual, it must be perfect. No, there's plenty of intellectual stuff that's just downright annoying. You know? So that's the thing, yes.
Maharaj, previously you mentioned that the prayers, that the main thing why we follow the charges is that the mood, we have to
right.
Catch the mood.
Yes, yes.
So we, even by Srila Prabhupada, daily prayers, which are very elevated prayers.
Yes.
So us being sadhakas, for most of us not on that level of appreciation or consciousness, What should be the mood?
We can probably fit into the samsara dava nalalita loka. That part we could probably, you know, we could be comfortable in that situation. Yeah.
Going after the thief's verse, I'm not sure.
But the point is these are all the things. It's a glorification of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
You know, so the point is he's engaging everybody in all. It means, just like we go to the temple to see Radha Madhava, that's not service to Radha and Krishna. We may be doing it as sadhakas or, you know, whatever it is, you know. But the point is that's what we're being engaged in. You know? You know, we're being engaged in honoring prasad, you know, whether we actually honor it or not, that's another thing, but we're being engaged in that way. Because you get benefit. I mean, if the ducks in Regent Park will take human birth, you know, surely we'll get some benefit. You know, it may not be like Lord Chaitanya's, you know, that song on the Prasad Seva prayers about, you know, Shat Kori Ashwadan, you know, about, you know, and tasting the spinach. Then you can taste the nectar. You know, it's so wonderful because Krishna himself has tasted the spinach. You know? Like that. They even have one of the songs on just on Khichdi. Like that. Yeah, really fun. Yeah, so these are the things, is that we're there, and whatever a level that we can relate, that's the level we pray at. Because you pray according to your position. You know? And you pray, you know, means in other words, from your position to what you want to obtain. So within that range, that's the, that you deal with. So, you know, you'll base you know, how you say it's called stuti and stava. One means the prayers of the acharyas or the established things, and the other means one's own personal realization. So we'll use, you know, that Guru Vastika and that, you know, as a basis for our prayers, rather than, you know, the, what do you call it, the prayer, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz, you know. So we might not use that one. That makes sense? Yeah. Okay. Krishna is the Vishaya of all rasas from Lalita Madhava. Seeing Krishna in the combat arena, the priests of Kamsa showed disgust on their faces, Bibhatsa. The wrestlers became red with anger, Raudra. The cheeks of Krishna's friends raised up with smiles, Hasya, Sakya. The evil rulers became senseless, Bhayanaka. The sages became fixed in meditation, Shanta. The mothers wept with hot tears, Karuna and Vatsala. The expert warriors' hair stood on end, Vira. The devatas felt novel astonishment internally, Adbhuta. The servants began to dance, Dasya. And the young women cast glances from the corners of their eyes, Madhura. Srila Prabhupada. In the Lalita Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami is stated, after Krishna's arrival in Kamsa's arena, Kamsa's priest looked at Krishna with a detestable expression. The entire arena was filled with dread on the part of Kamsa and his priest, and restless expressions of pleasure on the cheeks of Krishna's friends. Frustration was felt by his envious rivals. The great sages meditated. Hot tears were in the eyes of Devaki and other motherly ladies, and hair stood on the bodies of the expert warriors. It was astonishment in the hearts of demigods such as Indra. The servants danced, and the restless eyes of all the young girls glanced about. In this statement, there is the description of a combination of different mellows, but there is no incompatibility. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami, Dyaitya Charyaha, means the priests of Kamsa. At that time, Tada, the priests of Kamsa distorted their faces, Asye Vikritim, on seeing Krishna covered with the elephant's blood and mudda, juice excreted from the rutting elephant's temples. This indicates Bibhatsa Rasa, disgust. The smiling of Krishna's friends indicates both Hasya and Sakya Rasas. The evil rulers became devoid of all movement, pralaya, out of fear, payanaka. The sages became absorbed completely in meditation, indicating their shanta ras in relationship to Krishna. Mothers such as Devaki exhibited vatsala and karuna rasas. Yeah. Krishna as the ashraya of all rasas. Though lifting up Govardhan, he remained without pride in himself, Shanta. When the small children became eager to hold up the mountain, he smiled, Hasya Vatsala. He spat at some bad-smelling yogurt, Vibhatsa. He showed off his great strength in lifting the mountain for the benefit of his dear friends, Sakya, Virya. He displayed red eyes in looking at Indra, Raudra. He shed tears on seeing the suffering of the inhabitants of Braja from rain and wind, Karuna. He trembled in fear before the elders, having destroyed the sacrifice to Indra, Dasya, Bhayanaka. His eyes opened wide with astonishment on seeing the great torrents of rain, Adbhuta. His hair stood on end when he saw the young girls, Madhura. May this master, the lifter of Govardhan, protect you. Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement, which is free from incompatibility, is in the Lalita Madhava, wherein the author blesses all the readers of the book in the following manner. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to lift a mountain with a finger of his left hand, he is always humble and meek. He is always very kind to his loving devotees. He has frustrated Indra's attempts at vengeance by refusing him the sacrifice of Indra Yajna. He is the cause of all pleasure to all young girls. May he be ever compassionate upon you all. Srila Jiva Goswami. Prideless. Amani, prideless, means that Krishna exhibited Shanta Ras in being devoid of pride at lifting Govardhan. Trembling in front of his elders on interrupting the sacrifice to Indra, Hari Makam Prasya indicates Bhayanaka Rasa, because he stopped the sacrifice and now all this trouble is there. But it was all to chastise Indra and to fulfill the devotees' desire to the devotees that they could all be with him constantly for 24 hours a day. Like that. Other rasas can similarly be understood in this verse. End of the eighth wave of the northern section, entitled Friendly and Inimical Rasas. Okay, so now we start wave 9. Huh? We just ended the eighth wave, and now we're beginning the eighth wave? Yeah, it should be 9. No? After 8 comes 9, right?
Yeah. Maybe if you put it like this, then 8 is...
Oh, and it just keeps going, yeah. And then the next chapter will be 8, next chapter 8, and we're going to the next book, it will be chapter 8. Go to the next thing, chapter 8. I've heard of that, we've done with 9. The repetition of 9 many times over and over again. But I haven't heard 8. I probably heard repetition of words that are a derivative of the root eat. You know, he ate. When are we going to eat? You know, why is he eating? Like this kind of thing. You know, that kind of thing. That. So Rasa Bas, outline of the it says in here 491. So yeah, it's ninth chapter. It's been confirmed. Srila Rupa Goswami here. Outline of Rasa Bas. You have the definitions and you have types. You have Apasara, Anurasa, Aparasa. Or Uparasa, Anurasa, Aparasa. So then these create the Uparasa, then creates a distortion of the Stai Bhava, Vibhava, and Anubhav. Anurasa is experienced by devotees devoid of relationship to Krishna. So secondary rasas and Shantarasa and Aparasa. Rasa is experienced by enemies of Krishna. Right? So, in other words, within the Stai Bhava, then there'll be some problems that'll be come up and all that. Those who are devotees, then those who don't have a relationship with Krishna, then, and then those who are inimical. Right? So, in other words, those who are favorable, those who are neutral, and those who are inimical. So, in three ways, the Rasa Bhava can come up. Chapter 51. Perverted expression of mellows. What appears to be rasa, but is without the characteristics previously mentioned, is called rasa bas by the knowers of rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. The word rasa here means that which suddenly appears to be rasa. Vikala means deficient, and vikala, rasa lakshana, means with deficiency in the characteristics of rasa, such as vibhava, anubhava, stai bhava, vyavichari bhava, and septika bhavas. 492. Rasa bhasas are classified as three types: uttama, madhyama, and kanista, or uparasa, anurasa, and aparasa. Okay. 493. When the stai bhava, vibhava, and anubhava take on distorted forms, the 12 rasas, starting with shanta rasa, are called uparasas. 494. Right, because the stai bhava means, in other words, the attraction to Krishna, there's some problem there, or the relationship with Krishna and what you're attracted to in Krishna, and then what it is having been that attraction towards Krishna, or that desire to interact, what interactions you want to do. So there could be perversion in any of those. Right? 494. Shantoparasa arises from accepting the impersonal Brahman feature of the Lord, from contemplating oneness of everything with the Lord, from continual disdain for the body, and from discrimination of chit and achit. Srila Prabhupada. Rasa bhas, or incompatible mixtures of mellows, may be classified as uparasa, false expression, anurasa, imitation, and aparasa, perverted or misrepresented. Nice. Srila Jiva Goswami. The para Brahma mentioned is Krishna, who is the basis of the impersonal aspect, Brahma Bhava. This is explained in the Gita verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. I am the basis of Brahman. Thus, Shantoparasa can arise from appreciating exclusively the impersonal aspect, Brahma Bhavat, of the Lord, para Brahmani. Advaita Dikya Yogata means from considering the absolute non-different from everything from the Lord, since He is the cause of everything. Vibhatsa Bhuma Dehe means from continual disgust with the body and other material factors. Adi indicates that Shantoparasa can arise from absorption and discriminating chit from achit, matter and spirit. Footnote 34. This is one of the activities of the jnani. From this point onwards, examples will be raised showing only some of these factors. Right? This one showed so many. Because, in other words, he's only seeing chit achit. So he's not actually bringing it around to chit, and how the origin, he's just distinguishing. Or he's always disgusted with the body and the material situation, and never looking at the wonderfulness of being of Krishna. Like that. That was two. And the non-difference, how Krishna's non-different. He's just seeing the non-difference. He's never seeing the person who's the source of that, you know, origin of that non-difference. Does that make sense? So they don't take it back to, that's why he's saying false expression. It's not actually correct in Niraku. Does that make sense? So it's not giving that full aspect towards Krishna. There'll be some weakness there. So overemphasis. Remember in the 11th canto, Krishna has pointed out faults in practices and that, but then points out it's faulty to always point out faults. You have to see the balance. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes.
Does it mean that the Mayavadis, they always experience that? They never experience rasa as such, only
no.
For rasa.
Yeah. That's, I would expect, on a good day. Otherwise, they don't even properly. Yeah, but basically that's the difficulty. So now if you can correct that, then things become proper. Like you see is that, because they're nicely situated, then you can see that the position of like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, because of their, you know, proper situation in performing their duties, but they didn't have the right relationship with the Lord. They only had the impersonal aspect. Like he would go every day to take darshan of the Supreme Absolute Truth, you know, who is Brahman. So you know, but he didn't actually see, you know, from Krishna from that. That's why then later, then you won't see it the other way. But yeah, it's a problem. 495. Accepting the impersonal Brahman feature of the Lord. Seeing you, the ancient person of the day, I have realized the bliss of impersonal Brahman, which arises in samadhi, purified by the splendor of knowledge. Footnote 35. This would be a distortion of the Vishaya aspect of Vibhava, and distortion of the Stai Bhava, though the examples in verses 5 to 17 are illustrations of irregular Stai Bhavas. Right, so there's a problem in the Stai Bhava is that it's towards Brahman rather than towards Krishna. So then it won't be a proper expression of rasa with Krishna. Like that. 496. Contemplating oneness. Whatever objects I see you alone, because there's nothing other than you as the cause of all causes and effect, O pure one. Srila Prabhupada. There's another statement as follows. Wherever I am glancing, I simply see you personally. Therefore, I know that you are the uncontaminated Brahman effulgence, the supreme cause of all causes. I think that there is nothing but you in the cosmic manifestation. This is another example of uparasa, or a perverted reflection of impersonalism and personalism. Right? So it's not properly going together. Like that. See, because he's seeing the person and he's everywhere, but he's just seeing the everywhere part, not the person. Because rasa is with the person, not with Brahman and Paramatma. So there's a mix there that's improper.
Well, you see he's lacking balance.
Yes, because the focus, the Vishaya, or the Stai here, is on Brahman. Like that. So that's the difficulty. It's not on Krishna. So we may understand everything's Krishna, but it's Krishna. It's just like the gopis see the black tamal tree, they think of Krishna the person. So the blackness is his blackness. But they think of him. Well, the Shantas then, oh yes, he's everything, he's that like this. So That is a position. It's the devotees, but they immediately go straight to the personal. You know, and it's just like, remember some years back, a question would be asked, and then you keep asking and asking and asking. Sometimes it would take like 15, 20 questions until it finally got to Krishna. You know, because we think of everything else and philosophy and this and all these other things. Then finally it's like, oh, of course, it's Krishna. But why didn't you say that first? Oh, that's obvious. So I was, being, intelligent here. And so, and that was, especially in those first some years, then that was very, very standard. Is that Krishna isn't the focal point. You know, our level becomes the focal point. Right? And so then, but, ultimately, if you ask, it's about Krishna. So that's why the sadhaka is moving towards Krishna. And that. But the point is, it's pointing these things out so you don't get stuck there and think it's good enough. Right? So these are useful for us because otherwise we may think this is perfectly fine. Because all that's mentioned here are all aspects we ourselves use in our practice. But you have to always see them in the context of Krishna. Okay? Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.